We're going to go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. And I know there's going to be a few people who's in the on the praise team who's going to have to be excused. So when when that time comes, when you need to leave, just go ahead on and exit out. You know, that's understandable. I know they got some business you need to take care of. So let's go on to the Father in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this class. We thank you right now, Lord God, that as we get into your word, Lord God, you give us insight, wisdom, and understanding, Lord God, that we can better serve you, Lord God, that we can better be disciples, Lord God, and follow, Lord God, as true disciples, Lord God, that, Father God, that we are getting and wisdom is being imparted to our spirits, and that we'll never be the same from this day forward. Lord God, we thank you for our apostle and the anointing that's on his life, and we thank you right now, Lord God, that we continue to follow closely in his footsteps, Lord God. And Father God, I just ask for your spirit to show up, Lord God, and anoint me for this hour, Lord God, for I know, Lord God, if your spirit is absent, Lord God, I'll fall flat on my face. So I just yield completely and totally unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start on chapter 18 today. In this chapter, we're going to be looking at the ministry gifts. We're going to introduce the ministry gifts. And this is going to be like an overall introduction. And in the next two classes I think we have, we're going to try to cover as much territory as we can. But anyway, in this chapter 18 is talking about the ascension gifts. The book of Ephesians speaks of five ministries that Christ gave unto the church. It says, if you want to open up your Bibles with me, in Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to read from verses 1 possibly down to verse 16. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1, and we may go down to 16. We're going to be heading in that direction. It says in Ephesians 4 and 1, it says, I therefore, now this is Paul, he's ministering here and he's sharing. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That word beseech means to urge, to beg, to strongly encourage you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Well, that call that God has upon your life, Paul says, I'm begging you, I'm urging you, I'm admonishing you to walk worthy of that vocation in which you are called. And that's so very important. He says that when you do it, do it with all lowliness and meekness and with all long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. One of the things that the fivefold ministry gifts is designed to do is to keep the unity of the faith, the oneness of the faith, and in the bonds of peace. That there should be no dissension. There should be, because there's no dissension between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Though they're separate entities, they work in harmony and concert together. And each has a specific function and purpose, and all of their function and purposes is to equip, to train, and to nurture up to maturity the body of Christ when we're talking in reference to the fivefold ministry gifts. Amen? And so it says here, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith and the bonds of peace, that there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called unto one hope of your calling. There's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. One God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace. That grace is God's unmerited favor. That grace is God's willingness to use his power and his ability on your behalf and my behalf, even though we didn't deserve it or we didn't earn it. The ministry gifts actually are considered or called the ministry graces, because it's God's bestowing his grace upon men. It's God's anointing, the very persona of God coming upon a person and empowering him and equipping him for service. And that's a grace that comes upon us. Amen. And it says here, it says, until every one of us is given this grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. He says, wherefore he said, he that ascended upon high and led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what it is but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And in verse 11, he talks about the ministry gifts. He says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And what did he give these ministry gifts for? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or a mature person or a mature individual. God wants us to grow up in him in all things. And that's what the fivefold ministry gifts or ministry graces are all about. It's to help train, nurture, discipline, disciple, admonish, encourage each and every member of the body of Christ to come to their fullness, to their full potential in Christ. Amen. Just like parents, their desire is for their children to grow up and get an education, hopefully go to college if that's, you know, what their pursuit is, but to pursue a career or a path that's, you know, going to make them independent and self-sufficient, and that they might live a long, happy, and a prosperous life. That's the desire of every parent for their child, you know, to get married and then have children and to be fulfilled and satisfied. Well, no different than our Heavenly Father. His desire is that we be all that he has designed and ordained for us to be, that we be to the praise of his glory, that we, you know, follow the course that he has set for each and every one of our lives. You know, God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, and it's his desire that we walk in that plan. It says that the ministry gifts are for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity or to the oneness of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God and to a perfect or a mature person, as we just said, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about, you know, by every wind of every, you know, it's a lot of different doctrines out there, a lot of different voices out there. But when you are trained properly, you can discern and know when God is speaking to you or when this is a distant voice that's not God. You know, when you mature, you'll be able to discern properly. You'll be able to know that this is not right. This is erroneous teaching. And that's where that maturity comes in. You know, you have a witness or a check in your spirit that, hey, something is not, this is not lining up line upon line, precept upon precept. And that's very important, because he wants us to come to that point that we be no longer children. A child, you can tell a child anything and they'll with face value believe you, because they have nothing else, no reason to doubt. But as mature Christians, we should be able to discern properly. It says that we not be carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sly of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But that we can speak the truth in love, you know, and grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, in whom the whole body fitted jointly together and compacted. You ever seen a trash compactor I know this is kind of an unusual illustration, but every Saturday morning when the trash collector comes and now they have these automated trucks that come with arms, and they pick up the can and they dump it and then they drop it back down. And after about 30 or 40 of those, they have an arm inside that truck that pushes everything forward, and it compacts it to create space. But, you know, it says here, it says that we, you know, in whom the whole body fit jointly together, compacted together, tightly knit. When something is compacted, is joined together, the seams and everything is there, there's no gaps. There's no spots for space. Everything is in order, everything is fulfilled, everything is in place, it's compacted. It says compacted by which every joint, and that's so very important, every person, every joint, every limb, every arm, every part of the body of Christ. There's no part of your human body that's without significance. eyes, ears, toes, fingernails, hair, you know, every part of your body, as small and as insignificant as it may seem, has a vital part in your total well-being. You know, if you cut your small toe off, it's going to affect your balance tremendously. You know, even though it's a small part, you know, it has a tremendous effect. You know, even, you know, I've seen people with one less finger, but it affects their grip. You know, they don't have the same amount of grip because they can't curl around something as completely as somebody with a complete hand. So everybody, every person, no matter what your gift, no matter what your talent, no matter what your ability is, you are significant, you know, in the body of Christ because you serve a function. Every joint is supposed to supply. Every person, every, you know, whether it's parking lot attendant, whether it's a nursery worker, whether it's a teacher in the school of ministry, whatever, every joint has a unique and there's an anointing for every aspect of ministry, you know. And the thing about it, one thing I learned, once you find your place and you begin to flow and function in that place, you're more anointed doing what God's called you to do than any other time in your life. Because once you get in that vein, that's where the anointing of God, because God is not obligated to bless what he didn't ordain. You know, if he didn't ordain you to be a pastor, he's not obligated to bless and to anoint that anointing, put that anointing upon you. You know, a lot of times people, I like the illustration Kenneth Hagin made years ago. They go out and they start watering with their foot. They start trying to work something on their own ability. And not get God's ability. Lord, what is it that you would desire for me to do? So that what I'm doing now, I'm not doing it in my own strength. Nothing you do for Christ, you want to do in your own strength. You want to do it in his strength. And actually, in your weakness is when you're really made strong. In your insufficiencies, because that's when you know, hey, it's really not me. You know, I'm up here, but it's really not me. I'm just an instrument. I'm just a vessel. Meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. You know, Lord, just speak through my mouth, think through my mind. You know, I don't want to say anything, Lord, that I know you haven't ordained and anointed for me to say. You know, and when you get to that point, then God can use you because he knows that you're not going out in your own strength. Amen. But I don't want to get off too much the subject, but we're talking here about the fivefold ministry gifts. And one of the things I want to point out too, I shared earlier about Jesus descending into the lower parts of the earth, the same that descended was the same also that ascended. And when he ascended, he gave gifts unto men. Now, when Jesus went down to hell, he went down to offer up an eternal sacrifice for each and every one of us. His blood was shed, but he had to pay the eternal sacrifice by going down and basically paying the penalty for each and every one of our sins. And then he ascended upon high. And the Bible says that he went before the very throne of God and he presented his blood as an atonement for eternal redemption. Not for a year, but forever. You know, his blood was shed and presented before the Father for eternal redemption. And at that time, the Bible talks about, and he gave gifts unto men. Okay? God's love was for the world. The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, which is Jesus Christ. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because I'm setting the stage of how significant and how important the ministry gifts are and how it's very important that we recognize, respect, and honor those gifts because these are gifts and these are graces from God. Because, see, his focus was always for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, Jesus gave his life for the sheep. The Bible said that he laid his life down for us. You know, he came to be an example, but at the same time, he came to be our substitute, and he laid his life down, and he paid the penalty of sin. As I said, he went down, and he you know, forever, eternal redemption was wrought by his sacrifice. And then he gave gifts unto men. Matter of fact, the Bible says he gave some apostles, and notice that the order is very significant. He gave, now one of the things I want to also point out about the office of an apostle, since I mentioned it, all of the other, well, the prophet, well, the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, those gifts there were post-ascension gifts, after he ascended up on high. You know, the 12 apostles of the Lamb, Jesus actually trained them personally. Even though the apostolic gift or the apostolic anointing is significant to the New Testament and really the New Testament only, but God saw it fit to place that apostolic anointing, you know, even while Jesus was on the earth, because they needed to see him in operation. When I say him, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in operation personally, because that apostolic anointing is a foundational anointing. It gets everything going. You know, it's everything emanates from that apostolic anointing, because they were the ones who went out and established churches. They were the ones who went out and established doctrine, correct doctrine, and made sure that everybody followed that doctrine. You know, they were the ones who in a lot of instances did the correction when they saw people were getting away from the apostolic doctrines that were set, you know. And so it was very important that Jesus was there for those 3.5 years with those apostles of the Lamb. But then Paul came as one born out of season. He was a New Testament apostle, but his encounter with Jesus was different, because his encounter with Jesus was more spiritual than it was personal. Because, you know, he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. You know, he went to Arabia for, I think, about 3.5 years, and he just spent time before God, hearing his voice, learning of him, sitting at the feet of Jesus from a spiritual perspective, learning and studying scriptures before he actually even met with Peter and some of the other apostles, you know. And so, you know, he is a New Testament apostle, but he wasn't one of the foundational apostles. But significantly enough, you know, Paul, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself to the next chapter, kind of sets the stage of what an apostle in this dispensation should and how they are supposed to operate. Paul, not only did he write over 3/3 of the New Testament, Paul was a very, I don't want to use the word forceful, but he was bold in his delivery. Okay, he was very bold. An apostle has a boldness, you know, an apostolic boldness, because they have spent time with God, they've heard from God, and they have established a heaven to earth connection. And so when God speaks to their heart, they go out and say, "What thus said the Lord? This is how it's going to be done. This is how it's going to be laid out. And this is how the doctrine." The apostles are the ones who establish and correct and make sure that the doctrines of Christ are taught and administered, and people are adhering to it properly. You know, we have seen that in here just recently with the teaching on grace, you know, where, well, the Lord permitted our apostle to dabble into it and then see what other ministries and other people were saying about it, and then be able to expose things about grace that wasn't completely and totally scriptural, so that we won't be deceived and we can rightly divide the word of truth concerning the grace, you know. That's so now the doctrine can be corrected, you know, so that we won't go around teaching and preaching another doctrine, but we teach the doctrine as a sound doctrine. And these are areas where that apostolic anointing comes out, and you see it more prolifically, and we'll see it in other areas, in the area of worship. You know, this past Sunday at church, I mean, we had a blessed, glorious time where you know, the gifts of the Spirit began to flow in the service. Why? Because the worship was pleasing unto God. And he, as I say that, I can sense the anointing of God coming upon me. Because, you see, when the body of Christ come together as one, making one sound, I've said this before, unto God, and it's no performance in the midst. Everybody is there for one specific person. It's just to worship God and to praise Him in the beauty of holiness. And you see, the Bible says, and I've shared this before, you know, that the anointing of God can fall in a meeting so strong that the priest cannot stand to minister because the anointing is so strong and God is moving and He's ministering to the needs of the people. And you see, one of the things, I'm getting to the end of the chapter now, but I want to make sure I say it because it'll probably be a test question. We have to be careful. The ministry gifts have to be careful not to become a priestcraft, or where the people look to the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher for everything. You know, they need to know how to go to God for themselves, how to minister to God for themselves. You see, a lot of times people go to see men and women of God minister, but their ministry should lead everybody to Christ, to worship God. You know, He is the source. I'm just a mouthpiece. I use the illustration, a mailman. I'm just delivering the mail. I don't know what's in your letter. I'm just speaking what thus said God. Everybody's letter has different information on it, you know, for different needs, different personal effects that needs to be dealt with, you know. And so people need to understand the significance of them going to God for themselves, because getting back to when Jesus died and went to hell and arose and went to heaven, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. In other words, at one time in the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory of God, God's presence, only dwelt in the temple, you know, and only the high priest and Him alone was the only person who could go in there. But now, because of Jesus, we have a more excellent way. We can go to God. You know, we are priests. The Bible says we've been made kings and priests. You know, there's no veil between us and God. You know, the Bible said that the presence of God, God's presence lives on the inside of us. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, once you become born again, so now we can go to God and get our needs met. And so those ministry gifts are all, their focus is to teach and to train and to educate the body of Christ to so that they'll know that God is their source and to be mature. You know, just like a parent trains and educates his son and his daughter to let them know that, you know, I want you to be independent, not dependent upon other people, but that you can be in. God wants us to be dependent upon Him. Amen. I think that stressed that point pretty well. Okay, let's move on, because I have a lot of little things I want to cover. One of the things I want to point out is that all of this is made possible by the grace of God. The grace of Christ flows through the five ministry gifts. The grace of Christ, His grace, flows through all the five ministry gifts. You know, it's a different measures, but it's His grace that flows through all. Amen. You know, and that's so very important that you understand that. And while I'm also on that other topic, one of the things we want to point out too is the purpose of these fivefold ministry gifts. Let me go back and share that right quick. Turn this back on. Okay. Okay. Verse 12 says that for the perfecting of the saints, that word perfecting means the maturing, the edifying, the building up of the saints, for the edifying of the body of Christ, you know, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Those things are so very important. You know, God wants to build us up. He wants to nurture us up. And these are the purposes of those ministry gifts, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Each one of these ministry gifts are for the work of the ministry. And I stated before that ministry is work. It's, you know, it's spelled W-O-R-K. You know, it's one of the things about ministry that's so you're dealing with people's lives, and lives are in the balance. And you have to always know how to handle people properly. You know, you want to be stern, but you want to and firm, but you want to be loving and caring. And you know, it's just like as a child begins to get older, you want to kind of push them out, but you always dare for them, but you want them to be able to stand on their own two feet. You know, when a baby begins to walk, you know, you kind of let him go, and he may fall every now and then, but you're always there to pick him up. You know, God says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He says I'll always be with you. But at the same time, he wants us to stand on our feet and grow up and be mature. You know, after a certain period of time, you know, I've seen kids take the Bible and just throw it away. I don't want the Bible no more. You know, there's a point in time where, you know, we shouldn't have people praying for us all the time. You know, you need to begin to start praying for yourself and believing God, because one of the things I've learned, if you don't exercise your faith, it will not grow. It will not grow. You know, and when you really need it, it ain't going to be there. You know, and see, that's what those ministry gifts do. They admonish you, and they're pushing you to, you can do this. You know, you can do this. They just, one of the things the apostle always does, he always gives us a faith challenge, you know, to stretch our faith, you know, stretch your giving, you know, stretch your believing, you know, step out in faith. You know, believe God for bigger things. You got this, but there's always more in Christ that we can accomplish and we can obtain. And it's not about things, but it's about us growing in grace and growing in all that God has for us. You know, I mean, going back to the prodigal son, you had one son that went out riotous living and, you know, out partying and what have you. One son that stayed home that got a little jealous when his brother came home, because he said, you know, you never did this for me. But the father said, look, hey, all that is mine was always thine. You know, we could have did this for you anytime. You know, but you know, the scripture says you have not because you ask not. You know, you need to know that God has everything that we need, but as we step out in faith, you know, God says he'll provide all of our needs. Amen? All right. Let's see. Because he is the fullness, it's talking about Jesus, of the Godhead bodily, he flows the fullness through the ministry into the many members of Christ. He flows the fullness of each ministry gift into the members of Christ. What he's talking about, he says, Christ gives himself back to the church through these ministry gifts. Jesus, when we talked about God so loved the world that he gave his son. Jesus gave himself, and he died on the cross. But then, like I said, when he resurrected, he gave gifts unto men. And not only did he give gifts unto men, but he also sent the Holy Spirit. He says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. You know, when his earthly ministry was about winding down, he says, in a little while, you won't see me no more. He said, but I see that your heart is troubled, but don't be troubled, because let not your heart be troubled. Then he goes on to say that I'm going to send you another comforter, and that he's going to abide with you forever. And this is the unity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, God loved us so much that he sent his son. Jesus came as an example and as a sacrifice, you know, and then when he fulfilled his purpose, you know, he didn't leave us calm. First of all, he equipped us with fivefold ministry gifts. And those 12 apostles of the Lamb, he trained them personally so that they could initially start the church off right, on the right foot. So he was their example, and he showed them how to do it. And now he commissioned them to go out and go into all the world and disciple all nations, teaching them, observing to do whatever you've seen in me do. You know, baptize them in the name of the Father and then of the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, he said, you know, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devil. They shall speak with new tongue. They shall take up serpents. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So he was telling them, hey, these things are going to take place, you know, and he trained them. You know, but at the same time, he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Even though I'm not going to be with you, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And what the Holy Spirit does now, the Holy Spirit, he's the one, the Bible says, the nine manifestations, the gifts of the Spirit, is as he will. So now, in addition to the ministry gifts, we have the tongues and interpretation of tongues. We have the gifts of healing, you know, a working of miracles. We have, you know, all the nine gifts of the Spirit that's at our disposal. And so all of these things God has graced us with so that we can be victorious. So that we can, the Bible says, they who know their God will be strong and do exploits. So that we can go out, you know, as it was said of them, it should be said of us. Those who have turned the world upside down have come hither also. When you know who you are and you're equipped to function in all that God has for you, there's no stopping what you can do. And it's not about you. That's the beauty of it. But it's about you yielding to God. When you yield to God, then, you know, you know, when you come to a fork in the road and it says yield, that means to give that other person the right of way. Well, basically, when you yield to God, you give him the right of way in your life. Say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. And when I see you, when you take a step, I'm taking a step. You know, when you run, I'm running. When you stop, I'm stopping. I'm waiting on you. You know, and that's the way we should be with every aspect of our life. Lord, I just want to yield to you. You know, I don't want to get ahead of you. I just want to be right there. You know, when your foot step and my step, my foot going to step right where your step, you know, and that's how you stay out of trouble. You don't want to get ahead of God. You know, you want to always hear his voice. The Bible says, my sheep know my voice. A stranger's voice, they will not follow. You know, in ministry, it's so very important to hear the voice of God because you want to be what God has assigned you. And I've shared this before. I never forget, I was at a conference at our company's corporate headquarters, and I had to do a presentation. And I prayed about it, and the Lord showed me what to do, and I went there and I presented this presentation on the team concept, and all the CEOs and the vice presidents and all the managers and people who, you know, make the decisions was there. And it was almost like they were, you know, I'm just being honest, like they were eating out of my hand. You know, and I'm saying, here I am, just basically a lowly employee, and I was selected, you know, I knew it was God appointed, but God was teaching me a lesson. He was telling me that, you know, don't be intimidated by people's titles or their positions because of who you are and what's in you. You know, and they were asking me questions. How do you think we need to accomplish this? And how can we move the company anyway? Just all kind of stuff. And so I shared things, and then one person came up to me. I'm just going to share with you the importance of hearing God and don't get ahead of him. You know, the guy says, hey, you know, I can use you in Kansas in sales. You would make a good sales representative. I got so excited, and I was, Lord, they finally discovered me. And I was going back to my rental car and bringing my props and all the things that I had, and the Spirit of God spoke. And this is what he told me. I didn't call you to Kansas. I said, okay, Lord, I got that. You know, so my hopes of being a sales representative in Kansas was shot down. But you see, the reason why I share that is because, you know, you can get ahead of God and hear the wrong voice, you know, because, see, God told me when I first came to Word of Life, this is where you need to be. That was his exact, precise words. I can hear it just like it was yesterday. It was 23 years ago. I was sitting in the halfway back in the old church on the right-hand side, and Dr. Thompson was ministering, and I heard a voice said, "This is where you need to be." I turned around thinking the guy behind me was speaking to me, but he was listening to the apostle. And so I knew it was God. I said, "Okay, God, I hear you." And so, you know, he never changed his mind on that. He's not double-minded. When God calls you to do something, it's not. A lot of times we change our direction, and we need to wait on God. Some 9, 10 years later, now I'm in North Carolina at this meeting, and all of a sudden somebody trying to sway my direction, and the Lord said, "I didn't call you to Kansas," But the reason why I'm saying that, because you have a lot of ministry gifts that get taken off track, get derailed and shipwrecked, because they step out too early. They don't wait on confirmation. The Bible says there's safety in a multitude of counselors. And if you're a man of God or your pastor is not in agreement with you stepping out, maybe you need to sit, listen, and learn a little bit more. There's so much to ministry that, because the enemy, what I hate is when I see somebody step out ahead of time and they're still moving on the momentum of the ministry that they left. And that momentum may carry them for a couple of years, for a good little while. But all of a sudden, they find themselves slowing up, and what's happening is that they're running out of steam, because they're not getting replenished. That anointing, they disconnected. When you disconnect or you sever a branch from the tree, those leaves on that branch, I just pruned some trees a couple of weeks ago in our yard. And the minute I finished cutting all the trees, the leaves that I pruned looked just as good as the leaves on the tree. But over a period of time, these leaves began to wither because there was a disconnect. You never want to leave your source. There's a brook. God assigns each and every one of us to a brook. And that brook is, God told Elijah there was a certain brook that I want you to go to. And I'm going to sustain you there. When you find the brook that God called you to, you need to stay connected to that brook because that's your source of anointing. That the anointing of God always starts from the top and it flows down. And if you align properly, you're going to get all the sustenance you need. The leaves at the top of the tree get just as much substance as the leaves at the bottom because the sap that's in that vine flows down and everybody get nourished. If a tree has enough sense to stay together, it seems like the body of Christ should stay together. Don't separate. Amen. How am I doing on my time? I'm about up. Oh, good. Praise God. Let's see. Another important point I want to bring out. The Holy Spirit is God's gift through Christ to the believer, individually and corporately. To the church, He works with the Father and with the Son. He also is the giver of gifts. Okay? The Holy Spirit, I want to touch on that because that's so very important. We talked about the Father, we talked about Jesus, and I said that Jesus said He would not leave us comfortless, but He would bring the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And He told the disciples and the apostles not to leave Jerusalem until they be endued with power from on high. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is essential, vital, can't do without it in ministry, and not just being filled with the Holy Spirit, but a continual refilling every day, spending time praying in other tongues, building up in your most holy faith, because you need spiritual muscles in order to confront the forces of darkness, because Satan always got a snare and a trap waiting for you. I'll never forget this one episode. And I've shared this before. I don't know if it was in this class, but I remember when I was a student at Southern University, and my window was cracked open. There were some saints on the outside on the steps who was witnessing to some unbelievers, and the unbelievers was getting the best of them. I mean, they would share a scripture, and the unbeliever would say something, and they didn't have nothing to combat it, you know. And I really wanted to just run out there and just help them, you know. And the Lord, all I told me says, no, I want you just to stay in your room and just pray. So I just sat there on my bed. I could hear what was going on. So I just started praying in other tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up my most holy faith. You know, for about 10 minutes or so, you know, and they were out there doing the best they can. And then after about 10 or 15 minutes, the Holy Spirit said, now go on out there and give them a hand. And so when they saw me, they greeted me and they said, Brother Calhoun, this brother here, he's a Muslim, blah, blah, blah. He don't believe this. And, you know, and I asked him a few questions and he told me this. And then I shared a scripture and I don't remember what it went. But everything I said, he could not refute it, you know, because the wisdom of God was just flowing. And it wasn't my wisdom. It was God's wisdom. But I knew that when I spent that time getting before God, he was giving me the sustenance I need to confront, you know, the adversary. And eventually the guy just got frustrated and just left. And they said, man, I'm so glad you came. And I said, you know, I said, well, I wanted to come early, but the Holy Spirit told me to stay and just pray. You know, it says, you know, when you witnessing like that, you got to be prayed up. Anything you do for God, anything, no matter what it is, parking lot attendant, if you're going to deal with people, you need to be prayed up. You know, prayer is essential. Never start any spiritual endeavor that you can't blanket with prayer. You know, Charles Finney, pastor's been talking about him. I got a book on Charles Finney called Revivals in Religion. Before he would go and minister anywhere, he had a brother who would go a month or so ahead of time and just pray for the city. And that's all he did. He would rent a hotel and get on his knees and pray for revival. That's why everything was shut down for miles around, you know, because the atmosphere was set, you know. I mean, he would go in that city and he would begin to pray. His name was Brother Nash, if I'm not mistaken. And he would pray down the strongholds over that city, over that country, over that nation. And so when the man of God and the evangelistic team would come in, the atmosphere was already set, you know. No prayer. You know, prayer is an awesome thing, you know, and as saints who you know, are in the ministry and God's called you, you know, you have to have a fruitful, abundant prayer life. That is so very important, because without that, you're just going to be prey to the adversary. Amen. But anyway, what we're going to do in the next couple of classes is we're going to begin to talk about each one of these ministry gifts, starting with the apostle. I know our apostle, he's been really going into detail about the apostolic anointing. And what I'm going to do is just touch on some basics. An apostle is a sent one. That's a foundational anointing. It's a building anointing. You know, it sets up doctrine. And all the other ministry gifts should fall in line under that apostolic anointing, because that apostolic anointing has that heaven-to-earth connection. One of the things I want to point out also, too, the author says that all the other ministries, the ministry of a teacher, a pastor, an evangelist, are pretty much accepted by people. But he says the office of apostle and a prophet, you know, they saw it in the Old Testament, but they don't quite understand it. And for so many years, those really more so the apostolic anointing, they've been prophets in our day that have been accepted, not as much as it should have been, but they were for the most part somewhat accepted. But, you know, a true apostle, you know, for years, I that was always a question mark in my mind. Lord, what is a true apostle, and where is their function? Because you didn't see a lot of them, and people who wore the title, you didn't see the proof in the pudding that they had, because they had the office, you know. And so I never saw a distinction between them or an evangelist or a pastor. They just, you know, they moved around more. But now I'm understanding more clearly, more vividly, the role of an apostle. And as the apostle shares things from the pulpit, I go back and study it, and the Lord gives me revelation, insight, so I can come back and teach it more effectively and break it down line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, so that you know, he may give it to you in big chunks. Throw it at you, boom, you know. You know, he always talked about, you know, I Tarzan train my people. But then somebody got to come and you know, a baby can't eat. When they start to eat solid food, you got to give them small, break up the meat a little bit. Remember, we used to tear it up and give them a little, you know. A teacher will dissect what was said and give it to you in bite-sized edible portions that you can digest it and grow from it, you know. And then as you grow, then you're able to get more and more. You know, the apostle will say, "Thus said the Lord," and sometimes it'll hit you hard, like, ooh, you know, gotta grip yourself. But then, you know, as you hear it more and more, and people begin to teach on it and break it down more in bite-sized edible portions, then you're able to dissect it and be able to grow up in him in all things. Amen. So continue reading, going on to chapter 19 for next week. And we're going to try to get as far as we can, you know, with these nine ministry gifts or ministry graces. Amen. I know that the semester is coming down, but I just want to answer one question, because I know I have a lot of people on the Internet, and even some students here may email me about study guides. You know, I did it once. But basically, if you take the quizzes and get the answers right, or if you don't get them right, get with somebody, and y'all, because all the answers, all the questions come directly from the book. Very few questions are something I originally said. Most of my questions come right from the book, almost word for word. So if you read the material, my main objective is to get you to read the book, to read and get the information, because the book is full of information. You know, I'm learning every time I pick the book up, you know. So your study guide is going to be those quizzes that you get every week. Now, some people, for some reason, have a problem taking the quizzes, but they have a problem passing the test. If you take the quizzes and pass the quizzes, you can't but help pass the test. They go hand in hand. Okay, I just hope that answer helps somebody. Amen? Yes, sir.
When you take the quizzes, and even if you get the quiz questions wrong, uh-huh. The system gives you the right answer.
Okay, so yeah, it gives you the right answer. So, yeah, all you got to do is print it out or write it down or whatever, and you're good to go. That's your study guide. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed.